And a very good Sunday morning to all of you in our listening audience. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to again take this opportunity to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast. It's on public access channel number 6 on your television entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a listen. And we have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find all these MP3 files of our radio programs by title, and you will also find all of our TV programs by the Special Studies tab on our website under Bible Videos. Please give them a look. We also have a host of other Bible-related material that will help you and aid you in the study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Just want you to come, worship God with us, study from His Word, and let us show you the need for God in your life and with the relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, your Savior. Today, we want to continue, as we have been studying for the last few weeks, the study of the book of 1 Peter. We've been looking at the book of 1 Peter, and last week we concluded the section that talked about the chief cornerstone and the special priesthood and the special people. Today we want to begin to study two verses. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to be looking and examining the meaning of verses 11 and 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Beloved, I bid you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they have observed, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, in these particular verses, in 1 Peter chapter 2, the plea and the goal, these verses contain a plea to God's people in view of the ultimate goal of man in this world, a Christian relationship to the world that glorifies God. Yes, we live in the world, but our actions and our conduct should glorify our Father in heaven. Holiness. In one sense, this is a follow-up lesson to the holiness in our relationship, which we discussed when we discussed the first chapter in verses 15 and 16. But this is more defined about our relationship with the world. The kingdom. These verses, by implication, also relate to our relationships to the kingdom of God, in which we have become citizens when we have been buried with Christ. And then it is twofold. We are in this world for two purposes: to guard ourselves from the evil and lust, and to show the world the peculiar character of God's pilgrim and sojourners and the better way to live and to react as we live on this earth. The citizenship is we're firstborns, or that we are enrolled in heaven. Let's read a couple passages together in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same book, in chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul states in these two verses that our citizenship is in heaven and that our behavior should reflect where our citizenship is. Our citizenship is in heaven, therefore our conduct should make a heavenly conduct. We must be worthy of the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 1, the Apostle Paul would write to the church of Ephesus, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you were called. We need to walk in a way that glorifies and honors God, but shows that our citizenship and our focus is not on this world. In Hebrews chapter 12, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22 and 23. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all men, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. We have become to a heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, where our names are enrolled, as we're told in another passage in Philippians, that our names were written into the book of life. We are in God's family. In Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10 and verse number 20. The scripture says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Jesus tells the disciples to rejoice not because of the miraculous powers that they possess and that the Lord demonstrates, but they need to rejoice because their names are written in heaven. In Psalm 69 and verse 28, we read, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous." God has a book that contains all the name of the righteous. It's called the Book of Life. That enrolls all the names of those who have a right to the Tree of Life. Now, we just want to read a couple passages to reinforce that thought. First of all, from Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4, as we made a passing reference to this, it says, "And I urge you also, true companions, help these women who have labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life." And then we look at a couple verses in the Revelation letter, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 5. Revelation 3 verse 5, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." And then the last passage that talks about that book is in chapter number 20 of this text, in verse 15. And it says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You see, God has a book that contains all the names of the righteous, and they are entered into the book of life. And all those who have a right to the spiritual life and eternal life are going to find their names written in that book. Now, as citizens of this kingdom, then we need to live and focus ourselves on that kingdom. And we read this in Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. "If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on the things of this earth." Citizens of heaven are to set their minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, not on the things of the earth. On earth, they, as they shall see, we are only strangers and pilgrims, and we're only here temporarily. We are not to get so enamored with this world that we lose focus where our real abode is going to be, our eternal abode. And so, since we are citizens of heaven, since our names are enrolled in the book of life, and since that is our goal and our focus, our aim, then we are strangers in this world, and this world is not my home. Now, the term stranger or pilgrims or sojourner are used in the scripture to denote God's people as aliens and foreigners in this world. It just means that we don't really belong here. We're not part of what people of the world are trying to gain in their life. Strangers. What is strange or novel or peculiar? The verb here is used of what is odd or unusual. And the noun is used to describe Abraham when he was in the land of promise, a land that was not his own. Please read Hebrews 11:13. A sojourner is one who is a temporary resident who lived their sojourns in a foreign land. Moses did that in the land of Midian in Exodus 2, verse 22. Or Israel did in Egypt when they were in bondage, according to the words of Acts 13, 17. Or again of Abraham in the land of promise in Hebrews 11 and verse 9. And so we're strangers, we're sojourners, we're pilgrims. That word is to dwell among or alongside a people, as the forefathers of Israel did among the Canaanites, read Hebrews 11 and verse 13. And as the Jews, after their dispersion from the Babylonian captivity, as we read in the first chapter of Peter in verse number 1. We need to make a note here. It is probably not possible to make fine, clear-cut distinctions between and among the meanings of these words. They may generally be synonymous in the description of foreigners who take up residence among the citizens of another country. The application of these words in the New Testament to Christian carries with it some fundamental and crucial points. Number one, this is a temporary dwelling. Let me say that again. This is a temporary dwelling. This world, as we sing, is not our home. We're just a passing through. We are citizens of heaven, and we look for a better country, which is not earthly, but it is heavenly. Read Hebrews 11 and verse 10. We are to be lights in this world. Christians, however, are here for a serious purpose, to influence the world in which they dwell as light, salt, and reading Bibles, epistles. Read passages as Philippians 2. Let's read Philippians 2, 15 and 16. Philippians 2, 15 and 16. That you may become blameless and harmless, the children of God, without fault in a mist and crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine forth as lights of the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain or labored in vain. We, as God's people, are here temporarily. And so this is a temporal dwelling. And we are lights of the world that's trying to exemplify and try to influence people to live a godly life instead of a worldly life. Would they abstain from some things? The world has a culture all of its own and is foreign to those who are true citizens of heaven, and we have to abstain from that lifestyle and from that conduct. We are to be in the world, but we are not to be of the world. Let me read you a passage where Jesus himself tried to encourage his disciples this before his arrest and eventual crucifixion. In John 17, verse 14 and 15, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You see, in the application, in closing this morning, this world is not our home. And so this is a temporary dwelling. We have to be very, very careful that we don't get enamored and fall in love with the world, that we lose sight of our spiritual, eternal abode in heaven. Because we can become so in love with this world that it will cost us our eternal abode in heaven. Again, our faith and focus must be on above. We will continue our discussion next Lord's Day. We hope you have a blessed day. Thank you for listening.